Well, good evening to everyone. It's really nice to be here because I don't often get out in the evenings. I don't feel that I know you terribly well. So if you could smile a lot tonight, that would really help me because usually I'm sitting where you're sitting. So let this be a warning to you that you may be sitting there tonight, but you may be up here one day. So I'm Catherine White and I'm married to Richard here, who is the curate at COGS. And Simon, who isn't even meant to be here tonight, but he's coming as a visitor, he says, asked me to speak. And I was really very flattered at first until he gave me the working title, which is Leaving a Smell Wherever You Go. So I don't know how you got out of that soon. Anyway, the sense of smells is said to be the one most closely linked with memory. And I think it's true. I lived in Belgium for 18 years. I grew up there. And there are definitely some smells which bring me back to my childhood. So the smell of freshly baked bread, which sadly doesn't happen in our household yet. I haven't reached that level of curate wife yet. But when I go to my mother-in-law's, she breaks bread because she is a vicar's wife. And it just takes me back to those days when we used to go to the boulangerie, which is the equivalent of the bakers, but it sounds much better in French. And you'd open the door and you'd be just overwhelmed with this fragrance of fresh bread and sweet treats. And we'd just be there for ages deciding what sweet treats to buy for that day. Or the smell of cut grass, that's one of my favourite smells, which takes me back to the times when my father used to go round and round our garden on the lawnmower, the tractor, and I'd be sat on his lap. And today we're looking at a passage which reminds us of our call to be fragrant. And, you know, we've just had my favourite bit, actually. If I had to choose one bit of a church service, it would be the testimonies, and then I'd go home. No, I'm only joking, Sam. So we're going to look at part of the second letter to the Corinthians, which is a letter written by the Apostle Paul. Now, for those of you who aren't familiar with Paul's story, it's one of the most extraordinary conversion stories. And I'd really recommend that if you're not familiar with it, just to go and read it in Acts 9 when you have time. So Paul started his life as Saul. He was a powerful Pharisee who hated the followers of Christ. And he actually went out to capture them, imprison them, beat them, and then put them to death. He hated the fragrance of Christ, that for him it was the fragrance of death. And then he had this encounter with the resurrected Jesus Christ. And this encounter completely transformed him. He surrendered his life. And he chose to follow Jesus and follow the call of Jesus. And this was a costly call for Paul. He left his home, he left his reputation, all the connections and the friendships that he had made, because he spent the rest of his days traveling everywhere to make Jesus known. He was eventually imprisoned and beaten, and then killed for his faith. And so this extraordinary conversion of a man who was putting people to death, then willing to lay his own life down to make the fragrance of Christ known, is extraordinary. So we can really take his advice seriously because he's done it. So let's just look at the passage, which hopefully should be on the screen behind me. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12 to 17. Thanks be to God, who always leads us as captives in Christ's triumphal procession and uses us to spread the aroma of the knowledge of him everywhere. For we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To one, we are the aroma that brings death. To another, an aroma that brings life. And who is equal to such a task? Unlike so many, we do not peddle the word of God for profit. On the contrary, in Christ, we speak before God with sincerity as those sent from God. This passage gets to the very heart of our purpose as Christians, to make Christ known to everyone so that they might live This was the great mandate that Jesus gave the disciples before he ascended to heaven. And it was an instruction to all believers. You know, I think sometimes we think that evangelism is for particular people who are gifted in evangelism. But actually, this is a mandate for all believers, regardless of how confident you feel, regardless of how well you know your Bibles, regardless of how well you can pray. God is desperate to make himself known. And he wants to use us. How humbling that he wants to use us. God cannot bear the thought of anyone perishing, and his heart grieves for those who do not know him. And we sing worship songs about open the eyes of our hearts. And I really feel that God wants to open our hearts so that we can grieve along with him, and so that we can open our eyes to see those people that he so longs to connect with. Paul draws a parallel with the triumphal procession that would typically follow a victory battle. Now, I'm half Italian, and so I know that the Romans would want to show everyone that they were victorious. And they did this in style. So they would have a procession, and they would build altars throughout the city and burn incense. And then people would line the streets and throw fragrant flowers into the street. And as the procession would walk on these flowers, they would be crushed, releasing the sweet scent of victory. And the victory that Paul is talking about here is the victory of Jesus on the cross. When Jesus laid his life down for us, he took upon himself all of our brokenness, all of our mess. And he said, "It is finished." He paid the price once and for all. And he broke the power of sin and death. When I first asked myself, you know, am I really the fragrant aroma of Christ? I have to admit, I felt quite inadequate. It feels like quite a big call to be the fragrant of Christ. And, you know, especially as a curate's wife, you feel that you ought to be even more fragrant. Well, let me tell you something. There are some really smelly parts of my character that you don't know about. But please do feel free to ask Richard, and he will gladly share them. You know, what's reassuring about this, it's actually a passage that is really encouraging. It tells us already that it's God who leads us, and it's God who chooses to use us. And Paul tells us that we are already pleasing to God. When we turn to Jesus and ask for his forgiveness, when we choose to follow him and surrender ourselves to him, then Christ resides in us. And so what is pleasing to God is not our own aroma. It's not our own efforts. It's not how well we know the Bible. It's not how good we are at living our faith out. It's Christ in us that pleases God. And so let us just relax a little bit and just realize that, you know, as we are here today, we are fragrant, we are pleasing to God, but he has so much more in store for us. One of my favorite things is seeing God's transformative power in people who have been on Alpha. I don't know if there's anyone here who has just finished Alpha or maybe considering going on an Alpha course. I went on 6, and I'm still working on the fragrance. You know, I just think when people come and stand here and share the transformative power of Christ in their lives, how they feel freed from a past that has broken them, and that they feel that they have a hope and a future, and that they are accepted just as they are. They are so fragrant with the aroma of Christ. And I wonder if sometimes we lose that fragrance. I wonder if sometimes we lose the wonder of the cross. So, how do we stay fragrant? Well, it's well known that the people that you spend the most time with are the people who influence you the most. And some motivational speakers even go as far as saying that you become the average of the five people that you spend the most time with. Now, I'm not talking about the person that you work next to that you happen to be in the same room with. This is about quality relationships, people that you invest time with, time in. So you become the average of the five people you spend the most time with. Is Jesus one of those people? Because if we are to become like him, we need to hang out with him. We need to be so familiar with his ways that it becomes second nature to us. So that when we go out and we carry the fragrance of Christ, it's not something that we are trying to do, but just something that comes out of us. So we stay fragrant by spending time with Jesus, and we do this by reading the Word. Now, I don't know about you, but I wasn't brought up reading my Bible daily. Richard was. He is so good at reading his Bible every day. I, on the other hand, I struggle. It's like going to the gym. It's a discipline that I have to get into, but I see the difference. I really see the difference when I read the Bible. And if this is something that you struggle with, I really recommend that you come and speak to somebody, whether it's a Connect Group leader or someone on team. Speak to somebody, because there are so many amazing resources out there to help us understand the Bible and apply it to our everyday lives. The other way that we can stay fragrant is by spending time in prayer and worship. Now, we bought a dog. He bought a dog. It was largely me. Over a year ago. And it has really improved my prayer life. I so recommend it. A, it's a great excuse to get out of the house and away from the children. And B, when you're out there, actually, it just carves out time for prayer. And it's brilliant. You know, if we really want God to open our eyes to see what he's doing out there in the streets and in our communities and in our workplaces, we need to ask him to open our eyes. How much of our prayer lives is consumed with things that we need, people that we long to see saved or healed or redeemed? How much of our prayer lives do we actually spend saying, "So what are you up to, God? Open my eyes and let me see what you're doing so that I can come and play." And last but not least, it's about who you spend time with. We've already said that the person that you become is dependent on the people that you are amongst. And being amongst fellow believers, people who are the fragrance of Christ, will enable you to be more fragrant. I don't know if any of you are familiar with Connect Groups, but we run small groups throughout the week, and they're a really good way of building relationship, increasing that sense of belonging. It can be hard to get to know people in a context like this, but it's also a place where we can really encourage one another in our spiritual growth. And just this week, we've been talking about ways that we can step out in our faith. And so I think we're dedicating a Sunday morning to go and do acts of Christness instead of acts of kindness, where we're going to go out into the town of Whitney instead of a Sunday morning service. Sorry, Simon. And we're going to do the stuff that Jesus did and see what the harvest is. And yes, we do this with trepidation, but we also do it with a real sense of expectation. So, I don't know about you, but for me, a temptation is wanting to spend most of my time amongst people like you. I love coming to this church, and I love you guys. I may not know most of you, but I love being with you. Why? Because when I worship with you, you usher me into the presence of God. You carry that fragrance of Christ. And so it's really compelling. And I feel drawn to these meetings. And often, as Richard goes out to his next church meeting and I'm left with the kids, I feel really bereft. I think, well, it's all right for you. You're going to all these church meetings and I'm here with the kids. You know, there's a real temptation to want to be amongst believers all the time because it's fragrant. But that's not what Paul is calling us to do, and it's not what Jesus called us to do. It's a really important factor in staying fragrant, but the aim is to go and bring that fragrance out into the streets, into our communities, into our workplaces. Someone said to me this morning, a perfume is not designed to stay in the bottle, it's designed to be sprayed. So, Paul is really clear about our mandate, but what if God calls you to do something that is a little bit out of your comfort zone and possibly with people that you wouldn't naturally choose to hang out with? Well, we'd only been here at church at COGS for a few weeks when Simon asked Richard if I might consider leading the toddler group here. Now, Richard, in his wisdom, said, I don't think so, Simon. And I think he was right, actually. I can't think of anything worse. I am a mother of two little boys, and when they were young, there was nothing worse than to go to a toddler group where you didn't know anyone, you were sleep deprived, the coffee was pretty disgusting, and there were so many rules and regulations that you had to abide by that I was guaranteed that one of my children would probably break them. So I stayed well away from them. But when Richard relayed the conversation to me, I really felt challenged, because I wondered whether God might want to use me, whether God might have other plans. And so I was prepared to die to my own preferences. I was prepared to die to my own comfort, and I offered myself up as a fragrant offering. And I don't say this because I want my halo to shine, but I want to say it because I want you to know that I've been there. You know, God called me to do something I didn't want to do, but he changed my heart because he opened my eyes to see where he was working. And it's so exciting now, I can't tell you. I took up the challenge, and together with our family's worker, Kirsty, we've got the most amazing team of volunteers, and we're now reaching up to 180 different people each week across two venues. And we're driven by this desire to make Christ known in the way that we welcome people, in the way that we make coffee available from the word go, in the way that we offer hand massages, heaps of love, and prayer to people who want it. We've even had one lady who comes all the way from Gloucester because she knows that there's something uniquely different about this toddler group. And so I've just been blown away. You know, the fragrance of Christ is costly. Christ calls us to get uncomfortable with him, but it's only when we crush our own desires that his fragrance can inhabit us and can then go and spread in the community. We've had parents now from Coglets coming to Alpha. We've just had another person from Coglets, another father, write his name down tonight. We've had people starting coming to church. We've had babies christened. And so God is just inviting us to go and play. And we need to either say, yep, or do you know this is really hard, I need your help. So, following the call of Christ requires dying to ourself. Are you ready to die to yourself? That's a really big question. And it's something that I'm finding you don't just do once when you turn to Christ. It's something I do daily. I have to die daily to my preference not to have to engage with people when I'm sleep deprived. I have to die daily to having to go into town and then people recognizing me and then feeling that I need to talk to them. I just have to die to that, because I know that God's got bigger things and that actually his heart is longing for those people to know his love. One of my friends shared how she'd been out for a meal, and she's given me permission to share this. She went out for a meal with her brother-in-law and her sister, and they'd enjoyed a lovely meal, and then the waitress came to their table with the bill, and the brother-in-law noticed that her arm was in a sling. And immediately, without even thinking, he started talking to this girl, and then offered to pray, and she accepted. Now, the words of my friend were, "I wanted the world to swallow me up whole." And I think we can relate with that feeling, that social awkwardness. We often have it. You know, he's the one that's training. I'm the one that loves praying for people out on the street. And he's like, "Oh my goodness, not another one." But I love it. I really love it. Some people hate it. But what happened next really challenged my friend. So this waitress was being prayed for, and the presence of God touched her, and she started crying. And when they'd finished praying, she said, "Thank you." No one had ever said such lovely words to her in her life. There are so many broken people out there. If only we stopped and actually looked around and asked God to open our eyes to see the people that he wanted to touch. And then when we see the fruit of it, it is so encouraging. It really builds our faith. And so when you guys go and share your testimonies, it inspires other people to step out too. It's true that for some people, the aroma of Christ will be the stench of death. You know, if we're going to go and be the aroma of Christ in the streets and in our communities and our workplaces, we have to be prepared to offend and be offended. For Paul, the cost of sharing the gospel was his life. For us, it's more likely to be social awkwardness. It gives a bit of perspective, doesn't it? So are you willing to respond to God's call today? Are you willing to spread the aroma of Christ everywhere and to surrender your own desires, your own preferences, what your own beliefs are about what your gifting and your skill set is? Because when we surrender our lives, then Jesus can inhabit our lives and he can be the fragrance that we spread wherever we go.